This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. In the last half hour of today's show, we're going to go over some poll numbers. We're going to go over some more hot takes on inflation, some silver linings that the beautiful people in the mainstream media are finding for us. And I think it will help you get through this tough time. But before we get to that, we have to talk about what's happening with Peter Navarro right now and the two tiers of justice in our country. I wanted to start with this piece from American Greatness. I think Howie probably has it in his homework today, so you can go to gracecurlyshow.com and check that out. But it's by Roger Kimball, and I'm just going to skip around here before we get to the sound of Brian Stelter and Peter Navarro. We have sound from him as well. But he talks about how the Democrats long ago became expert at the game of holding their opponents to standards that they themselves violate, not just with impunity, but with glee. Scary-looking super cop John Durham had indicted Sussman for the same thing that brought down Trump's flash-in-the-pan national security advisor Mike Flynn. Just a reminder, it didn't just bring down Flynn, you know? It destroyed him financially. I think he's finding a way to recover from it. But they put this guy through the ringer for the exact same thing, when you boil it down, lying to the FBI. But as Kimball points out, but no one who has been paying attention thought the two men would be treated the same way. Not in the slightest. Everybody knew Sussman. I mean, when we talked about it here, they had this in the bag. In any other time in history, it would have been a slam dunk. Sussman admitted to lying to the FBI. He tried to claim that he was just coming to them with this information out of the goodness of his heart instead of charging the Clintons for the work he was doing, the dirty tricks that he was pulling. So Sussman, by contrast, was a covert employee of the Hillary Clinton campaign. In this tale of two trials, we got a textbook illustration of how you can deploy a two-tier system of justice in which, as George Orwell put in Animal Farm, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And I'm going to skip down here because he gets to the point about Peter Navarro. And this happened late last week. Over the weekend, as I always say on Mondays, I try to gauge what's really bothering people when I talk to friends, when I talk to family. And a lot of people were upset about what was happening to Peter Navarro, and for good reason. It gives off, and it gives this off because this is what's happening, the idea that these institutions are just attacking people who disagree with them. Attacking people who don't fit the narrative, attacking people who threaten the swamp. And so Roger Kimball writes, and here's some salt to rub in the wound. Peter Navarro, a former Trump economic advisor, was held in contempt of Congress because he refused to hand over documents to the kangaroo court, the Democrat-controlled January 6th Inquisition. And he specifically mentions, which Howie also did on Friday, Eric Holder, a.k.a. Obama's wingman, and attorney general. But in his resume, I would put wingman first. If in his LinkedIn, it would say Obama's wingman and then former attorney general. He was also held in contempt of Congress. You might not even remember that because as CNN reported soon after the affront, the White House and the Justice Department made clear Friday what had been expected all along. Attorney General Eric Holder will not face criminal prosecution under the contempt of Congress citation passed by the U.S. House. Of course not. He's a Democrat. He's Obama's wingman. He's not going to have to actually have any sort of accountability. Navarro is not so lucky. In fact, and again, I'm just skipping around here. You can read the whole thing at gracecurlyshow.com. In fact, They arrested him. He lives next door to the FBI building. You know, they could have easily done something where it was, hey, what's going on? Come in. We got to talk to you. No, they wanted to embarrass him. The purpose was to embarrass him. So they arrested him at the airport while he was trying to board a plane. They slapped a 72-year-old man in handcuffs and leg irons and threw him into a cell once occupied, and they were careful to tell him this, by John Hinckley, the lunatic who shot Ronald Reagan in 1981. I think he was motivated by, like, Jodie Foster or something. And now he's a musician. Now he's, like, selling out venues. So, yeah, it's very hard to read this about Peter Navarro and not instantly think of Roger Stone. Different situations, but this idea that we're having, like, we have to go in and arrest him, or we have to bring a SWAT team, we have to have camera crews. And it's all to make the point that if you go against the swamp, if you go against the president, if you go against the people in power, if you go against Nancy Pelosi and the January 6th Blue Ribbon Commission, you will pay the price. We will ruin you.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
On May 31st, Navarro sued the January 6th committee and the DOJ. So that was May 31st. It was a Tuesday. I remember it was my birthday. Not to make Peter Navarro struggle about me, but it was my birthday. So on May 31st, he sues the January 6th committee. On June 3rd, he was arrested and arraigned. Huh. Unlike Eric Holder, who merely scoffed at the contempt judgment, Navarro faces up to 2 years in prison and a $200,000 fine. I want to play you here some of these cuts from Peter Navarro. Can I have cut 20, please, Taylor?
Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, who I argue in the civil suit, obviously have score settling and axes to grind. These are ultra-virus, unenforceable, unlawful subpoenas. And that committee should never have been formed.
No, it shouldn't. It's a complete joke, and no one's going to watch it. You know how I know no one's going to watch it? Because Brian Stelter's on TV crying about how no one else is running with it. Now here's my theory on that, and we'll play this sound for you later. If you're the host of a show, and you think there is this big democracy hanging by a thread, walls closing in, case or trial or hearings about to break, and you have it on your schedule, I picture Brian Stelter's calendar, it's all blank except for the week of the January 6th hearings. He's excited for this. He's got the popcorn ready. Now, if you're Brian Stelter and your goal is to get ratings, which I know people...
There's no time for potato heads.
People probably thinking to themselves, that's not the goal at CNN. Well, deep down, it's still got to kind of be the bottom line, is you want people to watch your shows. Maybe I'm old school in that sense. But you're Brian Stelter. You've been waiting all year for this big, big hearing to come up where, you know, Adam Kissinger, Kinzinger, I don't know why I can't. It's my bugaboo. I can't say his name. It is impossible for me to say. And Liz Cheney. And this is going to be the big time where it's all over TV. Now, Brian Stelter is upset that Fox News is not going to run with this. Here's my theory. If it were me and I thought something was so interesting and it was so mind-blowing and it was going to be so fascinating to my viewers and I was the only one running it, and let's say Taylor had a radio show in competition with mine, I would be happy if Taylor said, I'm not going to run with this. I would go, wow, what an idiot. What an idiot. He's going to miss out on all this great stuff.
I'm not quite sure how to say this. Kim Basinger? Basinger? Basinger?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It's not going to matter in a while, though, because I think Kissinger, he's retiring, so who cares? But my point is, if Brian Stelter thinks this is all going to be so amazing and groundbreaking and, you know, the biggest thing since the Civil War, he should be happy that his competition at Fox News isn't running with it, because people will be forced to go to CNN to watch all of this amazing content. He only wants Fox to run with it because he's thinking to himself, well, our ratings already suck. They're going to get worse if we run this. You at least have to run it so you can bring down your ratings just a little bit, or else it's going to be a complete wipeout.
It's also just kind of a paid vacation while you're on the job. Just kick up your feet for a couple of hours while the hearing's going on.
Well,
pipe in with the occasional commentary and station ID.
Yeah, no, I know. And write the chyrons, you know, whatever the headline is from the January 6th hearings. But Brian Stelter's all upset and that no one's running with this except for CNN, which I say, dude, you should be happy. Listen to how upset he is. He's almost in tears here. Can I have cut one, please, Taylor?
This week, the January 6th committee moves to primetime, holding a key hearing on Thursday with previously unseen material and witness testimony. That's what's being promised. It is undoubtedly important. But will it register with a mass audience? Over the last 10 months of the committee's investigation, we've already learned so much, thanks to scoop after scoop from CNN and other outlets. Yet, pro-Trump media has denied, deflected, defended, or just outright ignored the headlines.
Like you ignored the Sussman headlines? Like you ignored the Russia hoax headlines? You've ignored quite a bit, Brian. But I don't have a problem with it, because I like when you ignore big stories, because it reflects it in your ratings when no one watches you. You should also like it when Fox ignores these so-called undoubtedly, I love that word he uses, because I just think, who's to say that? You can't make that joke. Oh, it's undoubtedly a really big deal. Is it? Because I'm doubting it. So maybe it's not.
Well, yeah. When I was out and about this weekend, all I was hearing from the masses was, hey, January 6th committee hearings coming up. Can't wait to watch.
Oh, yeah. When you're at the supermarket and everyone's like crying over the price of things.
How do you tell what a ripe melon feels like? They said, never mind about that. The January 6th committee hearings are coming up.
Dude, get your eye on the prize. January 6th committee hearings are coming up. It's going to be crazy. And I don't understand Brian Stelter's sadness over the fact that Fox isn't going to be running with it. He should be happy. They'll finally be able to be number one in the ratings.
It's going to be like a gender-neutral potato head.
It's going to be like 1995. CNN's going to have quite the comeback. This is cut two.
I mean, think about it. The coup plot was rooted in a big lie. And ever since then, new lies have surrounded it. Lies heard on shows like Tucker Carlson's on Fox and Greg Kelly's on Newsmax. It's so important to understand the divide in the media when it comes to January 6th. Two different extremes. I mean, look at MSNBC's coverage. January 6th mentioned more than 800 times so far on MSNBC this year, and fewer than 150 times on Newsmax. And many of those mentions on Newsmax are dismissing the attack.
Wait, hold on. Do you understand when you say, look at what this one network is doing that has cratering ratings that no one watches? And look at what this other network is doing that consistently comes in number one in the ratings. And you think people are going to go, yeah, we got to do more of MSNBC. Their content is on point.
Yeah, Brian, you want to give out the times those shows are on and who their guests are coming up to?
It's like what they say, Taylor, when you're running against someone, like politically, you don't name them in your ad because you're just giving them more play. He's just naming all these shows. He's obsessed. And what he should really do is stop watching Fox and Newsmax, because he's just adding one more to the millions of people who are watching that show. If I were at CNN, I would say to Stelter, you have to watch all of our shows a couple times over. Try to get our ratings up. Let's take one more. This is cut three.
The Trump base does not want to hear about the coup attempt.
True.
The Trump base does not want to hear about the violence and about who inspired it and incited it. They don't want to hear the revelations at the hearing this week. And I'm not trying to claim that this doesn't matter, that the hearing doesn't matter. I'm saying it's important, and because it is important, it's being rejected by the MAGA media. I mean, will Fox even show the hearing on Thursday? I asked a spokesperson for Fox News. I have not heard back. But it's hard to imagine Tucker Carlson at 8 p.m. Eastern, who calls the committee illegitimate, Tucker Patriot Purge Carlson, giving up his time slot to hear the truth about January 6th. We'll see what Fox does. We will see what Newsmax does. But as Vanity Fair pointed out, the question for the media this week is whether the hearing will break through.
Oh, man, he's so down in the dumps about this. Does he think that if he plays the smallest violin that the people at Fox are going to go, you know what, let's put on January 6th. It's going to make Brian really happy. And truthfully, guys, we've been doing so well with the ratings. We can take a couple days off.
Who does he think he is, Joe Pesci and My Cousin Vinny? Gee, I wish I knew what the defense was up to, or the prosecution was up to.
It's ridiculous. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on this. I see a lot of people on the lines want to talk about it. Plus, Ben Weingarten also had a similar piece to Roger Kimball about just how these cases, Michael Sussman and Peter Navarro, they really epitomize America's two-tier justice system. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. We get asked all the time, does it really work? The answer is yes. It's great for odors, whether that be tobacco, pet, or musty basement smells. And also, the air purifier can relieve allergies and sinus problems. Taylor, you've been talking a lot about the pollen. My mom mentioned it yesterday. It's been really bad over the last couple weeks.
I heard somebody, this was an actual conversation I overheard at the grocery store over the weekend, and somebody said, yeah, this pollen's bad. I've heard It's the worst it's been in 9 years. And I said last week driving in, there was a fog of yellow driving in on 128. It was visibility down to a mile. It was
and then you
crazy.
Said to the guy, are you going to watch the January 6th committee hearings? Because that's what matters. Number three, the safe ozone technology destroys up to 99.9% of air pollutants. So if you're a value shopper like Taylor, like Officer Mark, like Howie Carr, then this offer is for you. And also Dr. Matt. And he knows because he has to deal with a lot of pet smells. This thing works. The Eden Pure Air Purifier doesn't take up any floor space. It's small enough to hold in your hands. So get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. When we come back, we'll take your calls and we'll play a little bit more sound from Peter Navarro. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
I'm just ready to finesse him. I'm starting to finesse him, right? I got him going. He offers to have his secretary copy everything for me.
That's very impressive finessing.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Omaha Steaks, the best and most mouthwatering steaks you'll ever have. Go to omahasteaks.com and type Grace into the search bar and order the Dad's Want Steaks package. You'll receive 16 entrees, 4 desserts, and 8 free Omaha burgers. That's omahasteaks.com, search word Grace. Taylor, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who do you trust the least? The Biden administration, the FBI, the experts, or Democrats?
Oh, it's all so bad. It's all so swampy. I'm going to say the Biden administration because...
Is it D, all of the above?
Yes. And I think the Biden administration is a nice mix of all of those people, like ex-FBI people, ex-experts. They're just... It's the worst of the worst, and they're all together with the worst guy in charge. So I'm going to say the Biden administration.
33% say the Biden administration. 43% say Democrats in general.
Well... I also want to give honorable mention here to the FBI because I want to read you a little bit from Ben Weingarten's latest piece. He says, the split screen of a smug and triumphant Hillary Clinton 2016 campaign lawyer Michael Sussman walking free from D.C. federal court and a bewildered former Donald Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro being hauled before it following his account of a harrowing arrest and detainment ought to be ingrained indelibly in the American mind. It sends an unmistakable message. We can get you anytime, anywhere, on any grounds we choose. You can't touch even a single one of ours. And I think that really sums it up. Can I get a little more of the Peter Navarro sound, Taylor? Actually, you know what? Save the sound of Peter. Let's play a little bit of Devin Nunes commenting on this. This is Cut 11.
Navarro, in the situation, the whole idea that you wouldn't just call the guy up and say, hey, grand jury's going to hold you in contempt. You need to, you know, just report here. I mean, that's all they had to do. But to go and get the guy at an airport, this is Nazi-style Stalinist crap. And I'll tell you, Grant, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I left Congress, right? I mean, I knew that we had to be able to communicate. And I bet, you know, your show's covering it tonight. You'll have a few others out there that will cover this. But most of America won't know what happened here.
No, because they're watching the pre-hearings of the January 6th Blue Ribbon Commission, and that's coming up next week. Nunes. Brian Stelter's got his hands full getting everyone ready for his Super Bowl, which is coming up before you know it. And Peter Navarro was also commenting on this, and a lot of this has to do with this committee and how they haven't been able to garner any traction. So now they're getting desperate. So they're doing things like this. But there was a really funny headline about Liz Cheney and how she's worried that if they make the scope of the investigation too broad, it's going to burn their credibility, the January 6th Commission's credibility, to which you have to think you can't burn something you never had, Liz. Come on now. We'll be right back. We'll continue to talk about this. And I also want to discuss inflation and tariffs on China. Don't go anywhere.
This is Nazi-style Stalinist crap.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
As much as the media always wants to paint Republicans as, you know, fractured the Republican Party and how there's a lot of infighting in the GOP, it would appear that that seems to happen quite a bit for the Democrats. Axios reported, this was Jonathan Swan, he said, January 6th committee has split behind the scenes over what actions to take after public hearings. Some members want big changes on voting rights. What that has to do, okay, you know, I'm not going to get upset. Some members want big changes on voting rights, including to abolish the Electoral College, because that's what this should be about. While others are resisting proposals to overhaul the election system. Now,
why abolish the Electoral College when they've mastered how to, you know, ring it?
Yeah, I know. These are good questions, Taylor, and that's why you will not be invited to sit next to Adam Schiff during this important important hearing.
Thank goodness CNN is there for me.
And Jonathan Swan wrote, Cheney thinks the committee will burn its credibility if it pushes for radical changes like abolishing the Electoral College, according to a source with direct knowledge. She better go along with it or else she will lose that strange new respect even faster than she found it. Liz, or as Pelosi likes to call her, Lynn. Peter, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peter.
How you doing, Grace?
Good.
I'm just a little concerned about why we haven't had Russian collusion hearings on prime time. Do we have to wait for the Republicans to win in November? Because I would like to know exactly who was behind that. I guess I have to wait for John Durham, but I don't know if that's really ever going to happen.
I mean, we know who was behind it. It was the Hillary Clinton campaign that was behind it. And Michael Sussman, that case was a slam dunk. It was just that the judge and the jury had no interest in, you know, following the truth. And the jurors didn't think it was a big deal. Lying to the FBI, as Roger Kimball pointed out, is only a big deal if you're part of the Trump administration. Otherwise, you get a free pass. You walk out. There's no issue. And I don't think that that's going to change. But I do agree with you on a point here, Peter, because there was a lot of talk last week about when Republicans take over, we need to impeach Biden, we need to impeach. And I'm not saying I would stand in the way of that. If Republicans decided that's the way they want to go, I'm on board. And I would request gold pens, just like the ones Nancy Pelosi had engraved for Trump's impeachment. And also the Darth Vader walk of the Republicans. You know, you got to make it just as dramatic as the Democrats if it's really going to stick. But I think that the only real fix here is we have to vote Republicans back in. We have to have some sanity back in D.C. And even on the state levels, you have to start voting for people, not because they lick cones of ice cream, not because of the sunglasses they wear, not because of how they make you feel. You have to vote for people who are rational thinking human beings. And also, once you vote for those people and they start having control, they can open investigations. And we will find out more about it. Do I think there'll ever be true justice in any of these cases? No, I don't. I'm not going to lie to people and say I do. But we never would have found any of this out had Trump not been elected in 2016.
I want a double-dipped waffle cone with chocolate, vanilla chocolate chip.
And so we at least need to get Republicans back in there and have a Republican president in 2024. So even if we can't kind of drain the swamp, as Trump had promised us, we can at least put a stop to this flagrant disregard of justice that's happening right now. Let's play a little bit more Peter Navarro, Taylor. This is cut 21. And he's getting to the bottom of what the, you know, the January 6th commission now has become. They're worried about the Electoral College. They're worried about all these things. This is what Peter Navarro thinks it's all about. Cut 21.
What that kangaroo committee is doing right now is investigating for punitive purposes. They're essentially acting as judge, jury, and executioner. Their mission, their clear mission, is to prevent Donald John Trump from running for president in 2024 and being elected for president. And people like me are in their way, and they're not coming for me and Trump, they're coming for you. All 74 million of you who voted for Donald John Trump.
It's really, when you think about it, Taylor, and I know it's easy to look at it and you hear about Peter Navarro, you hear about Trump, you hear about all these things, and you just go on with your day. But when you think about it, the fact that people who supported Donald Trump are now having their lives upended by these sore loser Democrats who know they're about to get walloped in the midterms. It's the stuff of a banana republic. It is the stuff of, you know, 1984. It's really scary. And I feel for Peter Navarro. People love him. I watch him on Fox all the time. He seems like a very good guy. And it's just wrong because we all know the reason they're going after him. I think even Democrats deep down know the reason they're going after him. It's because he was part of Trump's world, and now he's going to have to pay the price.
Well, they don't even have to know it deep down. It's right there under the surface. This is their motivation for everything. And they had over a year to get this in order and come up with whatever trumped-up charges they wanted to place on people like Peter Navarro. But now, with reports that next month Trump is going to make some announcement that he's going to have a candidacy in 2024, all of this stuff is coming down.
Yeah, it's so predictable. That's the only way I can describe it. Let's play the last cut here. Cut 22, please.
What did they do? They intercepted me getting on the plane. And then they put me in handcuffs. They bring me here. They put me in leg irons. They stick me in a cell. By the way, just historical note, I was in John Hinckley's cell. They seem to think that that was like an important historical note. Okay? That's punitive. That what they did to me today violated the Constitution.
So if you're Eric Holder, nothing happens to you. Same charge, nothing happens to you. But if you're Peter Navarro, you get put in the same cell as the guy who assassinated, shot at Ronald Reagan. Nutty. A failed assassination attempt by John Hinckley gets you in the same prison cell if you are Peter Navarro.
I wish he had said something like, they love that symbolism crap. that's my big bugaboo with...
That's what he's essentially, when he says, yeah. they thought that was an important historic note.
Cute, yeah.
Yeah, because they love all this. It's all about, like, the headline for
it's
them.
It's theater.
It's all political theater. Now, I do want to mention one other thing here before we wrap this up. There's a lot of talk about inflation. I wanted to first tell you Biden's next plan. I was reading you to you earlier about the Politico piece, how Biden's very frustrated, Taylor. If I had to use some words to describe Biden that I've been reading over the past couple days, these are the words I would use. Frustrated, twisted, mystified, angry, sad. They like to use all of those words to describe him. And some of the things that he's mystified by are inflation, his poll numbers, people don't like him, why all of these things are happening to him, and he can't do anything about it.
Why Trick cereal all tastes the same when they used to have different flavors way back when.
Why they won't let him out on the road more so he can be himself. Why they won't let Biden be Biden. And inflation is a topic that, depending on who you ask in this administration, you'll get very different answers. If you ask Janet Yellen, she says we were wrong on inflation. If you ask Gina Raimondo, she has a different story. Now, according to Fox News, the Biden administration may relax China tariffs in a bid to ease inflation. And Gina, former governor of Rhode Island, commented on this over the weekend when she was talking to Jake Tapper. Can I have cut 23, please?
There are some economists, for example, as well as voices inside the Biden administration, who say one thing you could do is to lift Trump-era tariffs on China, another country. Now, you previously have said that those tariffs have been effective, but do you still believe that these tariffs should remain in place, even if it means those companies passing the cost on to American consumers? Wouldn't that be one small fix that the Biden administration could make?
It's a great question, Jake, and we are looking at it. In fact, the president has asked us on his team to analyze that, and so we're in the process of doing that for him, and he will have to make that decision.
Oh, great. The same team that told us that inflation would just last a couple weeks, that team's at it again. I have high hopes for that team. Now, as we talk about inflation, I did want to give people an update on the upside of inflation. I don't know if you saw this, Taylor, but I think you'll appreciate it because I hear you sometimes getting upset about the price of meat and poultry and fish and eggs and all that good stuff. Well, there's a piece in the New York Times, and it's by Annalise Griffin, and it's titled, you want to buy meat in this economy? And she makes the point that inflation has the potential to drive welcome change for the planet if Americans think differently about the way they eat.
Never let a crisis go to waste.
Climate change has motivated some to eat less resource-intensive meat and more vegetables, grains, and legumes. But this movement has not reached the scale necessary to bring change yet.
I can taste it.
Oh, isn't that nice? I feel better. But I still think the one that beats that was the headline from the Washington Post, which was, you know, inflation, and I'm paraphrasing it here, but it's like inflation can help you make better choices. These are all just wonderful things that are happening to us. We can't appreciate it because we want the price of meat to be lower. Appreciate the fact that now you can eat beans and you can learn how we'll be eating in a few years when Bill Gates starts giving us a menu every night.
What kind of acreage do you have to have several livestock and a butcher shop on premises?
That's a question for Farmer Joe. I wouldn't know. If you have a question about chickens, you got to ask Joe Taylor. Don't come here with the questions.
I can taste it.
And by the way, we were talking a lot today about the swamp, the FBI, the inspector general, all these bogus investigations. Well, there's another investigation, which I can't tell you much about it, Taylor, because I don't want to jeopardize sources and methods, naturally. But the inspector general will investigate the Biden administration's response to the baby formula shortage. I know I said this on Friday, but perhaps if we could all just, I don't know, try to fix the problem and investigate later, that might be better. I don't have a ton of faith that the IG is going to come forward with some bombshell report.
Let's wait until the crime is completely played out before we start doing our investigation.
The Department of Health and Human Services will assign an inspector general, because the inspector generals always do such a bang-up job, to investigate the Biden administration's response to America's baby formula shortage. This was pretty amazing, though, watching Karine Jean-Pierre, and this also
Peter
was
Navarro going to get pinched for this, too?
Yeah, he'll end up in John Inglis' cell. But if you saw over the weekend when I posted my article about Karine Jean-Pierre's response to this, I had to look at the transcript. It was pretty amazing. Like, she was like, well, he said in late April. He said in early April. Okay, early. I'm sorry, early April. I watched a lot of her press conference, Taylor. Psaki's successor is not up to the task. She is bad.
Even those times she filled in for Psaki, if she's the pinch hitter and she's going to step up to the plate for her one day, they're going to be in big trouble.
And they are. And this is the one. I mean, there's been so many problems, so you keep thinking, oh, they've bottomed out. But this is really a time where they need someone who can spin. No one's going to get up there and be able to tell us anything good, but at least be able to look competent. And she can't do that. She just keeps reading the binder.
Her circle back is, you can talk to me directly about that. You can email me about that.
You can call myself.
Talk further on that. She have my number. Yeah.
She also likes to go like this. I understand the question. I don't have an answer for you right now, but I understand the question. Because that's supposed to make people feel better.
Yeah.
People like to feel understood, Taylor. But at the same time, you had Kelly O'Donnell and Ed O'Keefe from CBS. Kelly's from NBC. And they were asking about the flow of information from this White House. And she couldn't give any answer about who told Biden about the baby formula shortage. In any other administration, Taylor, if you said...
It was baby Burisma, obviously.
If you said, who told the president about this shortage? That would be an easy question. That would be one that a press secretary could go, oh, I nailed that. Had that answer at the top of my head. For them, it's like it's shrouded in secrecy. Well, you know, a lot of people talk and things, you know, people find out about things. And they're like, no. We want to know who told them. We want to know the flow of information.
He read it in the paper, just like everybody else.
Just like Obama read about Fast and Furious. He saw it on the news. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with Howie Carr. But first, I want to announce the gas money winner for today. Keep an eye out for an email from store@howiecarshow.com. Dan, congratulations, Dan. And by the way, if you want $50 for gas from me or from Howie, just go to gracecurlyshow.com and sign up for a chance to win $50.
You won! You did it!
It's totally free, so sign up today. That's gracecurlyshow.com. We will be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr after the break. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly.
Today's Car Crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future, so visit fairwayfinancial.com. It is June 6th. It is the 78th anniversary of D-Day. Joining me now is Howard Lawrence Carr. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
Howie, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a new poll from Harvard University, and I wanted to get your thoughts. In this poll, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis loses to Vice President Kamala Harris in a hypothetical head-to-head match for the presidential race in 2024. Is this why you don't answer hypotheticals?
I was thinking about it earlier today. Wouldn't you like to see a debate between Kamala Harris and Ron DeSantis?
Almost as much as I'd love to see a debate between Elon Musk and Joe Biden, which for me would just be a thing of beauty. Howie, there's a lot of talk about 2024 today, and you know it's just going to get more and more as time goes on. Do you have any idea about what's going to happen?
No, I think Trump is running, and we were talking about this off air, and you were saying that some people who are big Trump people would like him not to run, and would like Ron DeSantis to run, and we were chuckling about that and saying these are people who don't spend too much time at Mar-a-Lago in the winter.
Yeah, because Trump,
if you see Trump around, and Grace and I have seen him around, he's not planning to go anywhere. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, and he's not the kind of guy that makes a decision based off of what's going to be the easiest thing.
Did you see it? When he was in Casper, Wyoming? I think it was a week ago, Saturday night. I happened to watch that thing. I didn't have anything on my social calendar that Saturday night, so I watched the whole thing, and. He said he pointed out Mike Lindell in the crowd and said, and Mike does such a great job with that advertising. When I'm running again, and then he thinks, if I'm running again, I mean.
Oh, he caught himself.
Yeah, he caught himself, but it was pretty obvious if you were paying attention.
But Howie, when you see what's happening to Peter Navarro, when you see what happened to people who backed Trump, who were loyal to Trump, it makes sense that he's looking at this. And similarly to when he was at that event where Obama made fun of his presidential aspirations, it makes sense that all of this stuff is going to poke the bear and motivate him.
Right.
To get back in there.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this what's happened to Navarro is ridiculous. And now it turns out that the Jamie Raskin, Adam Schiff, January 6th committee, the Kangaroo Court, they've hired a former president of ABC News to choreograph it.
Oh, no. You're telling me that Adam Schiff, who is a very well-known script writer, as we saw during the second impeachment, can't do the choreographing here? He needs help?
No, he's bringing in someone from La La Land. Or should I say ABC quote-unquote news.
I think this is going to be another box office flop. That's just my predictions. Howie Carr is a great show planned. He's coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow. It's The Grace Curley Show.